everyone. This is Carolyn Evers, and I am just delighted to bring you Ian Henderson. I've been anticipating the time when we can come and discuss his wonderful information on twin souls and twin flames. Good afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon, Carolyn.
We are just delighted to have you here with us.
Oh, I'm delighted too.
Yes, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you and understanding the work that you're bringing forth. Ian, this afternoon we're going to be talking about raising kundalini between lovers. That's one thing we're going to be discussing. Another thing is moving into universal consciousness, the rainbow kundalini activation, and also attracting your twin flame. Now, that's a big mouthful, but I love it.
Uh-huh. Me too.
I would think that a lot of the people have an idea of kundalini. Would you be kind enough to give me your thoughts as how you would describe kundalini?
Oh, well, there are so many interpretations for it, aren't they?
Yes.
My interpretation of it is an activation of energy, ancient energy, long forgotten, and in many forgotten. Yet when it does awaken, when you are awakening your kundalini energy, it opens up so much in yourself, so many channels, so many new perspectives, so many new possibilities. It's absolutely magical and wonderful. I use myself, for instance, the rainbow, and this is something that I was given by my guides. They use the rainbow, if you will, rainbow bridges, to join and merge the chakras with each other, and of course using the kundalini snakes. But it makes it a little bit more of a gentle awakening. Many people, for instance, who have had the kundalini awakened, it awakens, for instance, during the night, and they wake up a little bit scared and wondering what the heck's happening to them.
You mean the chakras wake up scared?
Yeah, well, the chakras and the being and the physical and everything wakes up scared. You know, so while I was working on this, my guides told me that using the rainbow bridges to actually gently awaken consciously the kundalini energies, and with guidance, that it would make it a much softer awakening, a much softer experience.
We're going to discuss that a little more, but I kind of want your interpretation of what a twin flame might mean to us. If you were going to give a thought as to a twin flame, two people who are twin flames, how would you define that?
How would I define that? Well, I'll try to keep it as short as possible, but from the very beginning of creation, what my guides have shown me is that what we know as God or the Creator had experienced itself from within to its maximum potential, having explored every possibility within itself. It decided at a certain point to explore itself from outside, and outside from two different perspectives. Now, those two different perspectives were the original divine feminine and divine masculine. And that has repeated itself throughout every creation process, in no matter what you look at, whether it be animals, plants, whatever. It's repeated itself throughout the whole of creation. And that's the beginning, I believe, or what I've been shown, is the original twin flame pattern. And we do all have that inside of us. We do all have the divine feminine and divine masculine inside of us.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, when we talk about a twin flame, we might not be talking about two distinct individuals, we might be talking about two levels of ourselves individually. Is that correct? Do I understand that correctly?
On the one hand, yes, and on the other hand, no. Because I believe certainly with this year 2006, if you add the two and the six up, it adds to the eight. I'm sure everybody knows the infinity symbol. It is actually the divine feminine and the divine masculine, how they merge with each other. And when they merge in the middle there, there's this beautiful electric and magnetic energy that explodes from that, the divine masculine being the electric, the divine feminine being the magnetic energy. Now, when these two come together, there's a beautiful explosion. So it can actually be the physical. So two beings merging back into oneness through the communications and experiences with each other. It can also, of course, be, in fact, actually, it must also be within self.
Now, is there a difference between a twin flame and a twin soul?
No, there are many given names to this. For instance, a lot of people use twin rays. I think this is actually one of the things that is confusing to a lot of people. When you use the term a twin, what it basically refers to is that it's, if you will, the other side or the other part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I see many writers using the term soulmates when they're referring to twin flames. Now, in my perception, that's something totally different. Although, I must emphasize, neither or better or less.
Then, I kind of want to get these terms down as to what your understanding is, so that when we discuss our material, we can all sort of be on the same page, so to speak. Universal consciousness. We're going to be discussing moving into universal consciousness. Again, how would you interpret universal consciousness, or what words would you give to those who are listening what you mean by that?
Well, I kind of got to be a little bit careful with the words I use with this one. Most of the planet, most of the beings on the planet are still in self-consciousness. And what I mean by that is selfish consciousness or ego consciousness. All of us are faced with challenges of the ego, of expansions and understanding of what the soul is. When we're able to move into universal consciousness, we're actually a part of the all or a part of the one. And then ego is no longer a part of the equation. And would you like some examples, for instance, from
Certainly, because I kind of want to understand about all of us moving into the one, what you interpret as the one.
Well, for instance, if you're in a relationship and you go into, for instance, a marriage, well, generally in that marriage, although there'll be a lot of love there, there are also always expectations.
Mm-hmm.
There are always, if I give you something, then I want something back.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like, that's what I mean by selfish consciousness. That, if you will, is conditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you move into unconditional love or universal consciousness, it's an acceptance. It's an acceptance of no matter who they are or what they are or what they're doing. It's an acceptance of wherever they are on their journey, whatever they are experiencing. You follow me?
Yes, I certainly do. And before we get into information that you give in your workshop, I kind of would like to know how you started on this path. Was there something in your life that triggered this knowledge?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a story apart.
What
and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are going to recognize this. We humans are kind of stubborn, aren't we?
Indeed.
Uh-huh. And generally, well, to put it bluntly, we kind of need our buns kicked to get us awakened.
What did you call that?
Buns.
Oh, okay. Sort of like a little kick in the bottom.
Yeah.
I've heard other words used.
Uh-huh. Well, I could have used ass, but I didn't know whether that was appropriate for this program or not.
I think for the loving being that you are, what you said is just fine. We all need a little kick now
and then. Yeah. And the thing is, Carolyn, and it really started with me, oh my goodness, I think about 10, 12 years ago now, when I started losing a lot of people in my life that were very, very dear to me.
Mm-hmm.
And about 8.5 years ago now, I lost my daughter in a car accident.
Sad.
And she was, you know, she was one of the last ones of a long series of people who were extremely dear to me. And you can imagine, you know, when you lose a child, oh my goodness, that tears the heart out of you.
Yes, it does.
it kind of destroys you. And it almost did. It almost did destroy me. Yet, thank goodness at a certain point in my journey, someone stepped up to me and they saw that I was suicidal, I was extremely depressive. They saw that, and I guess, you know, it was in divine perfection at that moment, at that particular time, they gave me a book. And that book was the Celestine Prophecies.
Ah.
And I believe that's about 8.5 years ago now.
Yes.
And, I think it's about 6.5 years ago now, and thank goodness they did. Because then, as soon as I received that book, I read it the first time, and then I went back to it again about 6 months later, after about, six synchronicities pushing me back to read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know how that works.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I read it again, and then the questions did start to arise.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment in time, my goodness, I was going into the why me, why us
right. Sort
of thing. And of course, I didn't understand what the heck was going on. I was still in a lot of pain. Through reading that book, I started to open myself up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm going to use the term, I started to remember.
Ah, that remembering bit. Now, tell me, because it's a term that you use a lot, and yes, we're on a journey of remembering, and especially this next year or two.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, Eon, what are you remembering?
Oh, there's so much at the moment. It's just absolutely amazing, and it's beautiful. And I know many people around the planet are not going to agree with this, and that's absolutely okay. But I can tell you, the year 2006 is absolutely the year of the eight. It's the coming together of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And the energies that are pouring into the planet at the moment are absolutely encouraging the divine feminine to stand up,
mm-hmm.
to accept who she is, to be in total balance with the divine masculine. And oh boy, that's causing a challenge for the divine masculine too. You know, because they're having to accept, well, hey, wait a minute, we're equals here.
Right.
We're here to play a role together in perfect balance, in perfect alignment. And, of course, during 2005, we all know it was a kick-ass year that we had to bring all of the bits and pieces up to the surface that were just not serving us in this new dimension that we're in now. And 2006 is about the coming together, the merging mm-hmm. of the two, whether it be in the physical or whether it be in the inner self, it's not really important. The fact is, it's happening. And it's a beautiful thing to behold.
Indeed. Now, I'm assuming that in your workshops, this topic of leaving duality behind,
mm-hmm.
that's part of what you talk about in your workshop, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got to be a wee bit careful with that one, too, because we don't really leave anything behind at all, do we?
Not really.
You know, it's a part of us. It's a part of what has formed us. It's a part of our history. It's a part of our building, our building blocks, our nature. So we don't really leave it behind. It's what has brought us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But the term that I use and that have been given to me, oh my goodness, a good 3 or 4 years ago now, was triality. And it's the understanding of the two merging together in absolute total balance. Acceptance, love. When you meet in the middle, then there's a new aspect opens up. And we know that aspect as source. And that is triality, all three particles working together.
I'd like to review that again, triality. Tell me again the three parts that are coming together to form triality.
I see it as the divine masculine,
mm-hmm.
the divine feminine.
Right.
And when these two are balanced with each other,
mm-hmm.
it opens up. It opens up a portal, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up to source.
Ah.
And it flows naturally in. And balance, what I mean by balance is, let's use, for instance, the example. I'm talking about divine feminine and divine masculine. I'm not talking about the female and the male here.
Right.
Although, of course, they are aspects of it. Doesn't mean to say that it has to be female and male. It could be male-male. It could be female-female, showing either of the two aspects within each other. So we're talking about a balance of the divine feminine and divine feminine and divine masculine together. When these two do merge together, what I see in my own inner, my heart's eye, with what I call my heart's eye, it's an inner vision thing. I see two coming together. in the center of the two. I see, of course, the helix symbol or this infinity symbol. I see the energies coursing around each other. And in the very center, here again, you have the divine feminine, the divine masculine. You have the magnetic, the electric. They come together and they create alchemic reactions within our bodies. And here we are again. We're starting to remember these alchemic reactions, which all ties into the Kundalini as well. Everything that we're talking about here tonight is all tied in with each other. There's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a part of the whole. And when these two start to merge together in the middle and they found that balance, whether it be through communication, whether it be through meditation, whether it be inner research or inner work, it's all irrelevant, really. It's about finding that balance between the two within self.
Well, this is exciting because you're telling me that we're balancing the male and the female aspect. They come together.
Oh, absolutely.
And source, I want to understand this. You were telling me that through this balance, we are then accessing source. Am I on the right page with you there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely,
okay.
Carolyn. Absolutely. And we'll find that it is absolutely happening. In fact, actually, I personally believe, and believe me, this is my personal belief system. This is what my guides are showing me, and I do not want to push that opinion on anybody else. But this is what I'm being shown, and this is what I'm so excited about as well. Because as we do, sorry?
I said, indeed, we should be excited.
Oh, yeah, because as this divine masculine and divine feminine find the balance with each other, all of the past all of a sudden just suddenly disappears. All of the stuff that was out of balance, that created wars, that created arguments, that created fights, that, oh, my goodness, all of the different stuff that's been going on, when these two find balance with each other, when they come into the balance of the divine masculine, divine feminine, electric, magnetic, and again, here we are, the alchemic reactions or responses that are going on in our bodies, these create, I'd almost use the word juices.
Mm-hmm.
There are things happening within our bodies at that moment that are triggering our memories in our DNA, triggering our memories in our cells. We're not really showing people where they've been or anything like that. We're not really teaching people anything or anything like that. We're actually helping them remember. And through these exercises, through the symbols that we're giving and our words that we're sharing with them, all we are doing is helping them remember who they are and what they are and why they are here. And that's the beauty of it.
It certainly is beautiful. When this balance comes about and we connect with Source and Source is flowing through us, you're saying that we are remembering what Source is like? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And Source, of course, I mean, you can use any name you wish. You could use God, you could use Allah, and I'm sure there are many more beautiful names out there that so many people relate to. I don't tend to use the names because I see the names as a separation.
Yes.
I call it Source, or I call it Creator Essence, and I could call it God or Mother Father God.
Mm-hmm.
The simple truth is, it's one energy, it's creation from the very beginning. And yes, when you merge with that very beginning, everything, and I mean everything, is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, oh my goodness, you begin to interact with all of these magical kingdoms, inner earth, outer earth, the heavens. it's all a part of an exciting rediscovering, remembering who and what we are.
And if I'm to understand this as you are trying to express this or how you are expressing it, when we unite with Source, we are in effect uniting ourselves with all forms of matter here on Earth.
Yes.
And are we also uniting our being with a part of our being outside of this planet? In other words, are we meeting with Source and starting to understand what Source is like in addition to connecting with the creation here on this planet?
Yeah. I think the dynamics of it are, Caroline, that first of all, we start to understand and remember who we are as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a physical body. It's a dense energy. And we did it this way so that we could begin to remember again.
Mm-hmm.
It was all played out in perfection. We've all written this. We've all agreed to this. And first of all, the first part of it, of course, is remembering who we are. As we remember more and more who we are, we remember who Mother Earth is. She is also an intricate part of our being. She's of the same stuff as we are. The animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, they all contain the same elements as we do. But I'm not limiting it to this, neither, Caroline, because, of course, if you look out into the planetary system, there are many, many examples that you could relate to exactly what we are going through. What I'm saying here is I'm not limiting it just to planet Earth. I'm expanding it beyond that. We are universes within universes within universes within ourselves.
I am fascinated by the symbol that you received and the fact that there is energy in this symbol. Do you care to expand on that a little bit?
I would love to, Carolyn, but I'd like to ask clarity first. Which one do you...
Well, we're talking here about the two energies coming together and leaving duality and merging.
The triality symbol.
Yes,
actually, it was given to me first by one of our most beautiful teachers, Master Germain,
mm-hmm.
or some people know him as Saint Germain. When he came to me on that particular day, he started to show me how this symbol worked. And there is a beautiful description on the website as well, by the way, so that people can actually see how I lived through that experience with Master Germain, how he explained this to me. Yes, there is absolutely the duality in there, because you see the infinity symbol inside of it. And as you understand how the workings of these two come together in their meditations, in their communications, what happens is these two energies are merging with each other. They're circulating around and through each other. And when they meet in the central point there, you can see just above the symbol, and people will be able to see it on the website, so it would be much more visual for them later, but you can see that there's a triangle, if you will, just above the infinity symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he explained to me was that on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, it doesn't matter, there's no preferences here, either one was either on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, and that was the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And you can see right in the center, there are two flames. And if you can imagine one direct line of the divine feminine, the divine masculine meeting in the middle, at that point, all of a sudden there are two lines shooting out and upwards, creating the triangle. And that triangle, as I've explained before, is the coming together of the divine masculine, divine feminine, and center, and opening to source.
It sounds to me like we're using sacred geometry.
Most definitely.
And the energy behind the sacred geometry.
Most definitely, absolutely, yes. Because
mm-hmm.
when it does come together in the middle like that, and it comes together in balance with each other, no expectations, nothing, no limitations. What happens is the sacred infinity symbol starts to unravel. And as it unravels, it becomes the one. The circle of life, the circle of all that is, the circle of energy. And that's what surrounds that symbol. And it's beautiful. When you feel it, when you see it, my goodness, you go through a shift in energy within yourself. It triggers things inside you. Oh, boy.
I would like your website is up on our site, but perhaps you would give us the website again where people can find that symbol.
Oh, most definitely. That would be www.twinflames-twinsouls.net.
Now, before we go on to moving into universal consciousness, was there anything else that you want to say about this to sort of like wrap this up a little bit, this subject?
Yes.
Or have we explored?
No, because it does lead into other things, Carolyn. And it is absolutely understanding the divine masculine, divine feminine, the electric and magnetic energy within ourselves. As we, and I'm going to use the word play, as we play with these energies things are happening within us. Things are happening because of the energies that are coming in through the universe, which is going through exactly the same experience. It is opening up and expanding us even more. That is the year 2006. It's the 2 and the 6 is the 8. Now, as we move into 2007, for instance, then we come into the year of the 9, and that's the completion. So there's a heck of a lot of, I'm going to use the term, shaking and rattling and rolling going on. But there's a beautiful plan behind it all. As we merge together more in oneness, more in understanding of each other, and it starts with the divine feminine, divine masculine, the male, the female, as we understand each other more and more, then we can also expand that, of course, to understanding our friends more and more, understanding our families around us more and more. It gives us an energy of, if you will, discernment, patience, tranquility, serenity. It opens us up to many of these much more powerful words that we're using these days to understand exactly what we're doing.
What a beautiful word tranquility is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, golly, so we use that in the world.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is as well, it's happening right now. And, of course, we're still, there are many, many who are still, if you will, not quite yet awakened.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use that term. Although they will. It's a part of, if you will, the universal perfect plan. And I call it the first wavers. And, of course, I mean the first wavers of the masses. There are many around the planet at the moment that are awakening to this knowing, this inner knowing. They're remembering who they are and what they are. And, of course, they are going through all of these experiences right now, leaving behind them those parts of self that are of the ego or the programming. They're leaving them behind. They're transforming them. They're transforming them into love. And through that, of course, they're going...
Thought.
Yes, it is. And through that, of course, don't misunderstand me here. Most of these people are going through hell. Why? Because you're having to fight against the old.
Yes.
And as you fight to release the old, well, if you fight to release the old, let me correct that. If you fight to release the old, it becomes a struggle. Yet, with the knowing of what's happening, and that's why we are here, to help people remember why it's all happening, then the struggle and the pain becomes a lot less, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, when you do a workshop, you're discussing these topics, but you're also teaching in the sense that you're bringing the meditations to the people so that...
Yes.
Can you give us a little thought on what these meditations do for people?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well... I'm bringing out a CD in the not-too-distant future that contains 7 different activations, meditations. And although they all contain a different title, a different topic, a different energy, it is all one and the same. For instance, you know, we've just been talking about the infinity symbol, the divine masculine, the divine feminine. You contain that, of course, in your brain, the left and the right hemispheres of your brain. The more you're willing to merge those two halves together, the more you come into balance with the thinking and the intuitive. So you see, that, for instance, is one of the activations on there. And then there are things, for instance, at the moment, we know how we're using our words. Most people who are consciously awakened to a certain level know how we are creating with our words. And, oh boy, that's definitely been put in front of us this year. As we use, if you will, words that are limiting us, words that are blocking us. Well, guess what? We are those creators of our realities.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating then realities that we perhaps might not desire. And we're starting to realize, hey, wait a minute, I did this myself. How did I do it? And we're going back, if you will, in our memories and thinking, well, what words did I use to create this?
Mm-hmm.
So we're becoming much more observant of our words. And one of the activations that's on there, the master showed me how to place a guardian within each of us.
A guardian?
And to create a guardian, yes. We call it a guardian of the words, a guardian of the thoughts.
Mm.
And what happens is there's a little alarm signal goes off. And you can choose whichever alarm signal you wish to use for that. But when you're using words, for instance, that would limit you, would block you, would not allow you to move forward, then somehow or other the signal goes off inside of us, and it's a shifting of consciousness what's happening. Then all of a sudden we'll notice, hey, I just used if, or we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are words. Or, for instance, I can't.
Now, these are the words.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Those are words that are absolutely blocking us. So instead of using those words, something happens inside of us. And this is what the guardian does. It gives this little signal. And then we look at the words. We remember what we're being taught. We remember what's being put in front of us right now. And then as we change those words, then we start to create the reality that we do desire. So that's another of the activations that's in there.
Well, that's fascinating, because I think most of us do realize that in the ancient historical records that it is discussed that the breath, the word, creates.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And the fun thing is, well, for many it might not be fun at the moment, but the fun thing is those of us that are realizing what we are creating with our words, we are accepting, let's just say, the boo-boos that we make. We accept them because we understand how we did it.
Mm-hmm.
We understand the dynamics of, if you will, what went wrong. And we know there's no wrong, there's no right. It's just an experience. But we understand what we created. And instead of recriminating, dwelling on it, going into the poor me or whatever, the victim, then we just simply look at it and we are aware of it. And then all of a sudden we remember, hi, I did it that way. Ah, okay.
And learn from that. You know,
absolutely.
There are probably many people who would be interested in ordering that CD when it's available. How are you going to let people know when it's ready? Could they come to your website and either contact you of their interest or ask for, I think you, do you do a newsletter? I don't recall.
Yes, I do. Yes, and I was just going to say that, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
If people are interested in what I'm sharing or what I'm helping them to remember at the moment, if they're interested in that, I send out, when I get these channelings through or I get these special messages through, what I'm doing at the moment is I'm simply sharing them with my mailing list. Now, that's the newsletter. Of course, the full site and everything there is in development. The CD is there in development. The book is there in development. The power tools are there as jewelry. They're all in a development stage at the moment. So to be able to keep up to date with what's happening, then yes, by all means, please do join the newsletter. And it's on a prominent place on the site so that everybody can find
yes,
it.
Yes, they'll notice it there. But I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned that so people are aware. And we did touch a little bit on the rainbow kundalini activation about the gentle awakening. Before we discuss the gentle awakening, I'd like for you to give us a little insight as to perhaps what happens if you don't awaken the kundalini in a gentle manner. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We can go into history and we can see many different famous people who, for instance, have had this spontaneous kundalini awakening within them. For instance, Van Gogh. All of a sudden I'm stuck with names. People like the brought inventions out for the television, for the telephone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear about them, of course, they had this life of duality. They were absolute geniuses. And they brought some wonderful and magical things to the earth plane so that we could all benefit from them.
Right.
But were they all balanced, stable people? Because you hear the other side of the story as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You hear about Van Gogh tearing off his ear.
For instance, yeah. So
yeah.
What I'm saying here is if the kundalini, for instance, isn't brought through in a balanced way, and, of course, given the attention that it deserves, it can create imbalances within you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something absolutely that requires attention. And that's why, for instance, when I was showed this, of course, my kundalini had already been awakened. My beloved twin flame, her kundalini had already been awakened. We'd been working with this for quite a while. In one of our meditations together, and I'll forever remain grateful to her, she's such a beautiful soul. When we do this together, all of these visions come through our heart eye, our inner visions.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing as well, because we're such a balanced energy with each other, she sees exactly what I see. So if I let go of, if you will, the microphone, and we communicate at a distance a lot of times, then she'll just simply take it over, and she sees exactly the same as me. So what happened was, in the beginning of this gentle rainbow kundalini activation, was we saw these two rainbow bridges coming out from the heart of Mother Earth.
Mm,
remember,
beautiful.
Mother Earth, absolutely, Mother Earth is absolutely a part of who we are. What it did was it joined and merged with our root chakra. And from then on, of course, as we merged these energies together, and people will be able to hear it, and they'll be able to feel it, and be able to see it while they go through this activation or this meditation, they'll see this happening within themselves, or at least feel it. And as these bridges are being created, what we're doing is also we're bridging the chakras, the seven chakras. We're bridging them together.
You mean, when you say bridging, you mean uniting them?
I'm sorry, excuse me, what did you say?
When you use the term bridging the chakras, do you mean uniting them?
Yes, absolutely. For those who know who the kundalini energies work, you've seen these old symbolic symbols of how the two snakes rise.
Yes.
Either on one side, so you have a snake on both sides, if you will.
Right.
As it climbs up the spinal column, going through the chakra system, this is how it was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
It does climb up the spinal column, and it does merge with each chakra, but it's leaving, if you will, a residence behind, and that residence is the rainbow bridge, and this is the connection that keeps them connected to each other. Now,
when
this
you
connection,
say residence, do you mean a vibration?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And when it does leave that vibration behind, those chakras remain connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely important as well for the future of these exercises that, for instance, the three lower chakras, which are earthbound, and the four higher chakras, which is more or less universal consciousness, have that bridge in place, because it brings the universal into balance with the earthly or the human self. And that creates an open flow between yourself, Mother Earth, and the universe.
Now, something that you said fascinates me, the three lower chakras connecting to Mother Earth. From the point of sacred geometry, would you say that that is forming a triangle?
Yes.
Did you say yes?
Yes, I did.
And then
yes, most
the
definitely.
Upper chakras that I would assume would be connecting to Source,
mm-hmm.
would they also form a triangle?
Again, and I see where you're going with this, and you're absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah. Some call it the Merkaba.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted you to perhaps add, you know, a little bit of thought to this, because I think this is where we're going with this.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is here as well, Carolyn, each and every individual is going to see this differently. Each and every one is going to experience it differently, because we are all unique. We all
mm-hmm.
have our different experiences. So the only thing I can really share is how we experienced it together,
right.
Mary Pat and myself, when we
mm-hmm.
went into this meditation. Oh, my goodness, we've done it so many times, and we've seen so many beautiful things. And yes, one of the things that we did see when we came together, if you will, certainly in the merging of the, I believe you call it the sacral chakra.
Yes.
I had to think of it there because I had the Dutch word in my mind for the name of that.
Yeah, we had to remind people you are in Holland.
Yes. The sacral chakra with the heart chakra. This is the essential part, because, it, if you will, the lower triangle to the higher triangle. And as these triangles merge with each other, you have the six-pointed star.
Right. This is what I was after.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and oh my goodness, when you see this, when it actually does merge with each other, goodness gracious, how do you explain something like that?
Mm-hmm.
There is so much vibration, there's so much light, there is so much movement inside of you. It really is difficult to bring to words.
And so this vibration and the light and the movement, is this causing the spin?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. And it created, at a certain point, many who were seeing it and many who have experienced this with, it creates an explosion. an explosion of light. And what they are actually seeing there, or I beg your pardon, what they're actually remembering there is the very beginning of creation itself.
Yes.
And that and forgive me, but this is my perception. This is how I see it. This is how I'm hearing it. To me, that what they're experiencing in that moment is them being able to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the beginning of creation. The many, many, many splinters that have burst out into the universe, and which we all are.
Mm-hmm. And when you say the creation of the universe, you're putting within that connotation the creation of souls, aren't you?
No, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not separate from that, neither are we, Carolyn.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, okay, fair enough. This physical body, that's going to... I've got to be careful here with this one as well, because what they're showing me is that we do not actually need to leave this physical body anymore. But in the past, certainly, at a certain point, our physical
body... Before you go to another topic, you want to explain a little bit what you meant by that? We don't need to leave the physical body. Explain what you mean by that.
All right. Everything that we are, Carolyn, is vibration. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
As we raise our vibrations while we are still in the physical body, then we are raising our vibrations to meet with the remembering of all that we are, to
mm-hmm.
meet source, to know everything that we are, while we're still in the physical body.
Yes.
Now, that means, of course, that as we raise these energies, we are no longer susceptible, for instance, to illness.
Mm-hmm.
The cellular structure, which is also all a part of everything that is, also begins to remember, yes, they are a part of divine force. So they too...
remembrance that they're actually changing.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, my goodness. We're absolutely changing at this moment in time. Each and every cell, atom, a molecule of our being is changing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every particle of us is raising our vibrations and coming ever closer to that God concept, universal consciousness, and we're remembering that, yeah, fair enough, we're in a physical body. But we, for instance, through our lowering of our densities, the lowering of our vibrations, have created death. We don't need to. Degeneration of our bodies, age, we don't need to. We don't need food. We can live off light. And that's been proved.
Is it fair to say also that as we raise the kundalini, the more times we raise kundalini, the more that we're healing our own bodies?
Yes. I'm going to use that word again, Carol, and please forgive me. I don't mean to correct you or anything like that. It's remembering. It truly is remembering.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we do this exercise, and everybody that I do it with, I ask them, please, continue with it. They, of course, see what I do. They see how I work with my hands, guiding the energies through the chakras with the two snakes, the two rainbows.
Oh, that's
they
beautiful.
See all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So they can feel it and they can visualize it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, in the activation, I try to word it in such a way that they can also see it as they're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're doing this, it is absolutely remembering. And again, here we come back to this remembering, because this is also a part of our ancient knowing that we've long since forgotten.
Would you say, is this a fair thing to say, is that we remembered and we knew these things before the fall of Atlantis?
Yes, absolutely. Even before that.
Mm-hmm.
Even before that. Yeah, but because Atlantis is definitely something that everybody resonates with Lemuria, those are probably the two most known names where perhaps we failed before.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But this time, Carolyn, certainly what our guides are showing us, while we work in our meditations, Mary Pat and myself, they're showing us that this time we've agreed to succeed.
Well, that perhaps is the most exciting part of the message, I think, is, and we need to be reminded of this, perhaps, that we have agreed to succeed this time.
Yeah. Armageddon, for instance, that is prophesied in the Bible. And you have some of these messages that go out, still have the fear aspects in them.
Mm-hmm.
But the Armageddon scenario, we've long passed it. the maximum that we needed, for instance, to change that, we've already passed that.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we're doing now, every time we share with each other, and this is important too, that we are open to sharing with each other. Carolyn, we all have a piece of the puzzle. We all have a particle of the answer. And together, we all contain the big picture. And here again is another example of how we are all a part of that one, isn't it?
Indeed.
And we can't succeed without each other. And that's what we've agreed to. Certainly now, with all of these energies coming into the planet, with all of the transformations that we're going through, we are remembering that we're all a part of each other. Makes life a hell of a lot easier, doesn't it?
Have you been able to see the energies come into the planet?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness. When Mary Pat and I are in our meditations together, there are waves, there are colors, there are images that flash in through our heart's eye, if you will, at certain specific dates, yeah, and there are very special dates where the planets, and again, you know, the planets are no different to our chakras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that too is a part of the all that is. So as the planets align, then all of our own chakras are aligning. For instance, our divine feminine, our divine masculine, the God self, so creating that trinity, is also aligning with our four bodies, which is again creating a seven. You see how we designed this? Aren't we magical?
I would just like for you to repeat a sentence in case people missed it, because I think it's a very important sentence. And that was when the planets align, that there's a relationship between that and the aligning of our chakras. Do you care to go back and revisit that?
Let me try to emphasize what I meant by that is, many of us still experience separation. And when we envision, if you will, Mother Earth, our chakras, she has her chakra points, just as the universe has its chakra points. When we see it or perceive it as a separate part of ourselves, then indeed, that is indeed a part of, you know, a separate part of ourselves. But when we start to understand that it's all one, everything that happens in the universe is a part of what we are, then the planet alignment, because that's happening, it's happening in us. Because that's happening, it's happening in Mother Earth. Because that's happening, it's happening in the animal kingdom. Everything is changing. Everything is raising in the vibrations. Did that help?
Oh, yes, most certainly. Where do you perceive the Earth chakra point being?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. You want me to specifically make a location?
Well, if that was in your awareness.
Actually, because here again, if I were to name a particular area or a particular region, again, I'd be looking at separation. I see the seven chakra points as, again, this perfection of one total being inside of another total being that's also attached to this total being. You see what I'm saying? So when I look at these things, I mean, there are beautiful differences within each and every one of us, in each and every country, that are beginning to merge more and more with each other in the understanding of each other, and then, of course, in the understanding of the oneness. So, for instance, Russia is a very high vibrational place.
Oh,
Holland.
Interesting.
Sorry?
That's interesting.
Absolutely, but it is. France at the moment is going through a huge shift, and of course France has this chakra point. Holland has a certain energy that is also bringing through certain vibrations. And the USA, oh my goodness, what a beautiful country. And, oh, don't get me started on that, because she has a wonderful divine task.
Do you care to share with us what her divine task is?
I can share with you what Master Germain shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the world, it kind of hurts as well a little bit, as the world perceives America to be kind of sort of the bogeyman at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, not at all. I love the country and I love her purpose. We've all heard these kind of like spooky stories about how the whole world is hating America and how you know, there's going to be destruction and all of that sort of thing going on.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, but I certainly don't subscribe to that. What I see and what was shown to me was that because of certain facts that are going to be surfacing, and I mean so much of the darkness is surfacing at the moment, all of these things are coming to the surface to be put into the light so that they can be truth.
Yes.
Now, there are certain aspects of what is happening in and around America at the moment that are surfacing. The hidden facts. They're surfacing so that her people can see how she has been led,
yes,
abused. And in this, it will bring a certain energy of... Well, here, first of all, she's already experienced the compassion. Look at what happened, for instance, as she gave her support to other countries that were going through the tsunamis, the earthquakes and stuff like that. What happened? It came back to her, didn't it?
Yes.
As she went through Katharina and what do they call that other one, Rita?
Yes.
The compassion came back, even from the smallest country, my goodness. The smallest country donated $25,000, which would be billions of dollars to them. But they did. They showed their compassion in return. That was the first step of it. Now, as these truths start to emerge, of course, people are going to say, oh, my goodness, have we allowed ourselves to be led by the nose like this? And, of course, there's going to be a certain period of anger. There's going to be a period after that of understanding that they did play a role in it, and then there's going to be humility. And this is how I see, for instance, a lot of the fearmonger, if you will, interpretations of what's going on, we'll see America coming to her knees by the atomic bomb or weapons or stuff like that. I don't see it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see through it our understanding. And when you come to your knees, you're into humility.
Yes.
And in that humility, she understands her divine role. And, of course, it is a mighty country. It's a rich country. And our people are so beautiful and have such great hearts. They are going to... All this war stuff is going to disappear.
Oh, because, amen to that.
Well, and this is how I see it happening. This is showing how that it's going to unfold. They're letting me see that instead of us, or no matter where we are in the world, instead of us paying all of these dollars out for all of this war stuff, we're going to start to understand, well, wait a minute. If these other people on the other side of the world are another part of me, another aspect of me, hell, I'm letting these people starve to death.
I don't want that.
And they're going to say, I want this. Our countries are going to stand up and they're going to say, I want this changed. I want, instead of war and killing each other, I want to help that other part of me. I want food sent instead of bombs.
Oh, is that true? We want food sent instead of bombs. You know, this hour has slipped by so quickly and we're getting close to the end. But and I have other questions, but before we finish up, I want to ask you if there were people here in the United States who wanted you to come and do a workshop for them, how would they go about asking you to do this?
Email me. Invite me. Invite
okay.
me. I have on one of the particles on my website, our website, it says, I have my suitcase packed and I'm ready. And I truly am. I'm free. I will move anywhere in the world. You can feel in my conversation, I have a love and I have a passion for everything and all things. And I have something to share. And
I think you do. I wanted to get that out before we close the hour. Now that we got that out and we have your website out, in case there were people who tuned in late, would you give your website out again?
Absolutely, Carolyn. It is www.twinflames-twinsouls.net.
And we were talking about something else I wanted to us to explore a little bit. You were talking about the energies that you see coming to Earth and how the planets align and how the Earth aligns. And I wanted to ask you, when you're aware of eclipses, have you found that the energies are different then, or have they increased?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely shaking us up inside, isn't it? And here we are again, as we raise in these vibrations, and it's happening all around the world. None of us are going to get away from it. It is actually making those particles of self, the old programming, the ego, the stuff that has been holding us back, it's forcing it to the surface so that it can be looked at, understood, and transformed in love. And that's another example of what's happening in our countries as well. So here you go again. It's all one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no separation. Nowhere.
Have you noticed a difference in the energies between a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse?
Yeah. Yeah. Each of these comes in with a wave of a particular purpose. Oh, goodness, we've run out of time. But certainly the Divine Feminine at the end of the back end of last year started to come in huge waves. And that has triggered so much around the planet that the Divine Feminine is really looking for a balance at the moment. And it's creating a lot of divorces and stuff, a lot of arguments between the two. That's just one example. But as we find that balance together again, as the masculine comes in balance with the feminine and understanding the role, then everything around it also comes balanced. So within, so without.
Do you see the lunar eclipse being more feminine and the solar eclipse being more masculine energy?
Yes, but within each of us, whether we are feminine or whether we are masculine, absolutely. It is the feminine, but it's touching, whether we are male or female, it's touching us all.
Well, we are probably right up to the end of time. And we'd love to have you come back again in the future. I feel you'd be willing.
I would love to.
And as we end, is there any last thought that you might want to leave us with?
Yes, absolutely. Remember. Remember who you are. Simply be open. Let go and remember, because it's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. Just love having you, hearing your dear, sweet voice.
And thank you, Carolyn. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
It's been an honor and a pleasure for us, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.